2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hey, this is Allison.
And this is Britt.
These are the true stories about the good, the bad, and the funny.
Shared by you, but told by us.
This is GabFest.
Let's gab.
Welcome, gabbers.
Okay.
So anyway, we're back. We're happy to be here. We hope you had a great 4th of July.
Yeah. Happy holidays. Summer holidays time.
We need more summer holiday music. Like, every other holiday would, I mean,
to America.
Yeah, some of those today sound like your drunk uncle, but most of the time on 4th of July, your uncle might be drunk anyway. So, all right. Well, before we get into this week's subject, are you ready to share any someday you'll laugh about this moments?
Are you going to share the one from this morning?
Sure. Okay. I think that's pretty funny. So our mom, Mama Gabfest, Karen, just got back from her church mission in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And she took the red eye, as we usually do from Hawaii. So it was really early in the morning when we went to pick her up. Well, as she was heading over to get her bags, I was kind of trailing behind, and there was a group of young elder missionaries kind of walking across.
That sounds like an oxymoron if you don't know.
Yes.
Young elder missionaries.
Okay, like teenage boys. And they were walking kind of towards us. And so I was just like feeling the energy. We just welcomed my mom home.
Yeah, we're feeling the spirit.
And I started like clapping and being like, woo, missionaries.
Go missionaries.
And they kind of looked tired. Okay. But also get used to it because you're about to be waking up early for 2 years. So anyway, then I said, where are you going? And this kid looked at me as he's walking and goes, to the bathroom.
Come on.
I'm like, hey, sassy sass pants.
Sass.
Where's the spirit of the Lord now?
He needs to be humbled.
No kidding. I was hoping he was going somewhere third world.
Oh my gosh. Stop.
Then his little companion that was with him or whatever kind of looked at me and goes, Tampa, Florida. Like, and I was like, thank you
very much.
Yes.
I was encouraging you. I'm interested in your life.
I felt like I was
being disrespectful heathen.
Yeah. I feel like I was being his hype girl, like their hype girl. I was like, yay, clapping. It's early. Way to go. And he was like, to the bathroom. I was like, I hope you have diarrhea. I'm just kidding. If you're listening to this and that was your son, I apologize.
How would they know?
Because they're like, I have a son going to Tampa and he's sassy.
For all they know, he was the one that actually leveled with you.
True. If you want to assume that was your son, go ahead.
It must be him. He would be the one that would tell her honestly.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the gesture.
I said to my husband, I'm like, I couldn't tell if he was being sassy or if he was just kind of dumb. You know, like, I'm going to the bathroom.
And my husband looked at me. No, that feels like a personal question.
My husband looked at me and goes,
woman.
He was being sassy, like pretty confident he was being sassy. So, you know, anyway.
19-year-olds, 18-year-olds, come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we get rolling with today's topic?
Yes. So we put out a request for stories about funny, crazy animal interactions, whether it's pets or wild animals.
Yeah.
We thought it would be hilarious. We've had some really funny ones. And when I went back and listened to one of our episodes about the girl that was running and dogs used to chase her and she yelled at the dog to go home and then it got hit by a car.
Yeah.
That's kind of what got my mind going on this subject, to be honest. So I'm excited to share some of these. I think it'll be funny.
Yeah. When we re-listened to that episode, I was shocked all over again.
Right.
I totally forgot.
Well, I didn't see that coming. I just thought that was kind of going to be the end of it. And then all of a sudden it was like, and the dog died.
Do you have any personal stories with animals?
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple years ago, I was at the county fair and I had kind of a breezy blouse and I turned my back on the goat pen.
Rookie mistake.
I went to pull away. Goats eat everything.
Oh, yeah.
They chew everything.
Oh,
it's like a freaking 9-month-old baby. They just put everything in their mouth. So all of a sudden, I went to step away and I was being pulled back and it had like a good few inches of my blouse like chomping on it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was kind of like, and I didn't want to rip my shirt. Release. Release. And everyone turned.
Goat follow commands.
And of course, everyone turned and was like, that tracks. Like, that would happen to Allison. A goat tried to eat her shirt whilst she's wearing it.
Yeah. And what's also kind of, I feel like it's cute. Everyone's got this story of an animal that they always have the funniest names.
Yes.
So I was at the parade the other day with my uncle, and we saw the people riding by with their horses, and there was like a young kid on one of the horses, and we thought that was just cute. And my uncle's like, I rode a horse like that named Peanut.
Isn't that cute?
And then I was like, I took horse riding lessons, and my horse's name was Rad.
Yes.
Like,
you gotta. Just,
you have these little sentimental, you know, cutesy little
names
and
Peanut.
So you really do connect with them, and then when they turn on you, it's pretty jarring.
Nothing's endearing about like a horse named Gary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So speaking of names, that actually transitions great. We'll start out with this story. This listener said, ugh, I dated this guy and he had a massive, ugly dog. Herman was his name. She said, every time I would go to his house, this dog would tackle her down and hump her.
Oh, no.
The guy thought it was hilarious and wouldn't even help.
No.
She said, I hated that dog and eventually broke up with him.
Probably
because of Herman. But we actually got several submissions similar to this where the dog just picks out a person. And this happened to me with a dog named Cuddles.
What? I don't remember this.
I had a friend with a dog named Cuddles.
A little too cuddly, if you know what I
really.
Mean.
No, really. And I was kind of new to the area. And I went over to have a sleepover, and we were like dancing, listening to the radio, and Cuddles made a beeline for me. And I had never even seen dogs behave this way. So I kind of didn't quite understand what was even going on. I was like,
having a seizure on my leg.
Get down, like kind of pushing it down, you know? And my friends start thinking it's hilarious because they understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And I was like pushing it down, and it would growl. It would growl at me. And so then I was scared.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of like sat on the couch, you know, like, okay. And then it jumped on the couch and mounted my shoulder.
Oh my God.
And continued. And my friends are just laughing. And I'm kind of getting teary eyed because I'm in about fourth grade.
Feeling like a dog is literally attacking you.
Yeah. I'm being
Cuddles.
Violated by Cuddles. And.
That's what I'm saying, these names.
And so my friends, I start being like, I'm going to go home. Like, because I don't know why you think there's something wrong. Like, I must smell like beef liver or something that's making them really want a piece of this. And so my friends end up starting to be like, okay. I'm like, can we get the dog out? You know, and they.
Someone needs to kennel Cuddles.
And please. They barricaded me. Like, so they like blockaded
why not barricade
me.
Cuddles.
But they kind of like got stepped in front to break the hump.
Okay.
And Cuddles was like at them, and then they got scared and just left. And then Cuddles came about again. Yeah, and finally, like they went and got their mom, but it went on way too long.
We need adult intervention.
Yeah, and I remember them being like, "Why does it only do it to you?" You know, and I was like, "I don't know," but I'm really embarrassed. Even though, you know what, Cuddles is the one that should be embarrassed.
He should feel ashamed for his actions.
Okay, Cuddles.
I have nothing to apologize for,
other than maybe I smell fabulous. I have no idea what.
Or like bacon.
But I never understand like why certain dogs find certain people.
Right.
There's probably an article about it because someone else did mention that they had a sister-in-law that bred dogs, and they went to visit one time, and one of the dogs got a little excited, kept trying to hump their leg the whole night.
Uh-huh.
They like
just them.
Just them.
It wasn't, you know, little this, little that.
Yeah, I'm like, someone throw them like the stuffed squeaker toy. Like. And she said even when her husband would touch her, it would growl, like
oh
it got
gosh.
Territorial. And she said, so awkward, so gross, and I guess a little funny. But yeah, multiple stories like that. And I can feel for them. And I was in fourth grade, and every time I went over, I kind of just had ill feelings towards Cuddles, you know?
Yes. Well, speaking of dogs, this listener wrote in, and she said that her husband got attacked by a dog when he was 7, which is really scary.
Well, and it just sets you up for a lifetime of maybe being scared of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dog was all the way across the street. Saw the kid and just, once again, beelined, but they got mad. The dog.
Right.
I don't know the pronouns. I'm just saying they. Like we were saying, this has stayed with him for life. And
yeah.
She goes, actually, he really loves dogs, which is a surprise. But
right.
He will have lash out dreams about.
Like a night terror.
This dog attack. Yes.
Yeah.
She'll wake up to him, like, kicking really hard in the bed. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, she'll be like, why did you, like, karate kick
right.
in the night. And he goes, I had a dream that a dog was attacking our cat and I kicked it. And then she goes, another time he like punched the bed super hard in his sleep.
Yeah.
And he was having a dream once again about a dog attacking.
So subconsciously he doesn't love dogs, obviously.
Yeah. Well, or he just, it's really a trauma that's lingering.
Right. Need to do some breath work.
And she's like, I'm so grateful we have a king size bed.
Yeah.
Because he's having these lash out dog attack dreams and he's fighting back this time.
She needs
And that's, maybe that's what it is he was a 7-year old, very vulnerable.
Yes.
He couldn't fight back. Now he's a full grown adult and
he's
like,
taking control.
I could punch that dog. I could kick that dog.
I should have.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's therapeutic.
Right.
To punch a dog in your dreams, because in real life you could maybe get in trouble. Maybe go get some charges filed. Right. You know?
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, this listener said, we'll just keep going with the dog stories.
Okay.
This listener said she was helping her mom drop something off to a neighbor. Britt can relate to this.
Ugh.
Have we told that story yet?
I feel like we've just dropped hints here and there. I know I mentioned like just an innocent primary course to trying to drop off handouts during COVID.
I think you're going to have to dive deeper today. I think you're going to have to dig deep. Okay. So they said the neighbor that they were dropping something off to wasn't home. So they just dropped the item by their front door. But as she was heading back to the mom in the car, she jumped off their porch onto their driveway. Wee.
Yeah.
She said, well, this startled their giant, old, and slightly blind dog. He looked similar to Beethoven from the 90s in her mind. Maybe it was really not. But you know, when you're little, things become fantastical. Like,
and really and big.
Yeah. But maybe.
Like the Beast on Sandlot.
Right. But also, like those dogs.
Are really big.
Are big. And they were more popular. The dogs from movies got popular. So I feel like Doberman Pinschers, mm-hmm. Dalmatians, mm-hmm. and St. Bernards got popular in that time. I never see those dogs anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like funny how it goes with trends or something.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I guess he was chained by their garage and sitting in their driveway. She said, I wasn't scared of dogs since she had two, so she didn't think anything of him. But when he jumped onto the driveway, he got upset and charged her, bit through her little sundress and her Tuesday underwear. And into one of her booty cheeks.
The day of the week. Underwear.
And she said he started throwing her around like a rag doll by her bum. Her mom like took a minute to just get out of the car and park and like come and get her. Luckily, she didn't need stitches and the dog had had his rabies shot. But she had a big crescent moon scar on her bum for years. And worse than that, no Tuesday underwear anymore.
What am I supposed to
do on Tuesdays? Go commando like a heathen? She said she was actually really concerned about her underwear for some reason.
At that age, those are the things you hyperfixate on. Probably to avoid the trauma of what really happened.
Right.
Like, wow, my Tuesday underwear. When it was really like, wow, an unfamiliar animal literally attacked me.
And dragged me around like a rag doll.
No, my story isn't funny. But it was just, I
kind of, it's not funny.
It kind of is. So what happened was I was dropping off this handout and knocking on these people's door and the dog came running out and nipped me.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit of blood, but not much. And I was like, holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
And the family was like, next time, just leave it on the doorstep.
Walk and get the out of
here. Yeah. Literally, they're like, just leave it on the doorstep next time. And I was like, done.
Got it.
So anyway, the next time.
Sorry for my friendliness.
And so the next time I had to go deliver these handouts, I went to that house and I was like, I am 100% not even knocking on the door.
Yeah.
I don't even want that dog barking on the other side.
Right.
I just want to drop it off and go.
Yeah.
Well, for some unknown reason, the family saw me coming and just opens the door again with Cujo.
Yeah. Is that its name or did you just make it up?
No, I just made that up.
Okay.
That's like the devil dog on that movie Cujo.
Oh, okay.
And then Cujo, once again, just comes charging out of the house and bites me hard.
Yeah.
And you guys know how on those houses.
He's like, she got away before. I'm not going to let her get away again.
And before it can reach me, and its real name is not Cujo. I'm just saying that because I want to give you guys a really good mental picture of this corgi.
Corgi.
So, you know.
This was not like Queen Elizabeth's corgis.
You know, no way.
How did it even reach you?
Kensington Palace would never. No, so you know how on those houses, they're kind of like 50s, 60s era.
Yeah.
Where they have the wrought iron trellises almost, and they kind of swirl and they go up from the cement all the way up to the
It's like its pillar.
Yeah, it's like the pillar for an awning, but it's more that retro style.
Yeah.
I grabbed onto it, and I promise I almost
You scaled it? You
yes,
scaled it.
I almost did like a back hip circle for those of you who are gymnasts.
You
never in my life could I do that in gymnastics
don't you remember,
class.
Don't you remember her Spartan race, the upper body strength? Well, it's amazing what your body can do when you're in pure panic.
But it didn't help because I what goes up must come down.
Yeah.
I couldn't just hold myself.
But why didn't they apprehend their dog?
That's what I'm saying. These people, they were like slow on the uptake. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, why would you just open your door to let the dog out when I was just going to leave the hand out on your doorstep?
Right.
So they were just like, oh, dog's out. And then I'm like
climbing
their trellis.
Scaling their trellis, yeah.
And then the dog just gets me anyway. I end up having to go to Instacare for this one. It was deeper. I was
both physically and emotionally, mentally.
Deeper. And it was on the back of my leg.
Yeah.
And the guy working on my leg was like, were you running from the dog? Like thinking that I was an idiot.
You're like, listen, this isn't going to be one of those blame the victim things.
No. Yeah. Because all I did was come down from the trellis and flip around.
Right.
So the dog didn't get my front parts.
Right.
And but yeah, I just felt like he was like,
it's instinctual.
So you ran from the dog? Like, it's almost like dog people, they're trained to know, like, don't run from a dog. It makes it want to make chase.
Yeah.
It's
you're like, I was actually just leaving the house and they released the hound.
Yeah.
So yes, I was facing backwards, but I would not say that I was in a chase.
I was not egging the dog on by like, come and get me.
All happened so fast.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
All right. Well, another dog one real quick. And by the way, I love dogs. So we'll move on to other animals. But this listener said she was about 7 years younger than her sisters and cousins. And they all wanted to walk to 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. Well, they all came flying to the house screaming about a dog chasing them. And the mom was like, where is Susie whatever.
Yeah.
And all of them made that oh crap face and realized they had just left her outside with the mean dog. And yes, she did get bit. And she said, dang teenagers. But you go into mode of run.
Hurry, get in there.
And all you have to do is beat the slowest person.
Which is your 6-year-old cousin.
Or
you're supposed to be sister who you're supposed to be watching over.
Right.
Sad. What's interesting is, we have a few like different genres, because I know you have a giraffe story.
Yes.
And I have a giraffe story.
Okay.
So this listener, she was little and she went to the zoo and her dad said, put this leaf in your mouth.
Oh my gosh.
So they were probably at the giraffe encounter and those aren't caged. They're usually just like a big fence.
Right.
Where you can observe. And they were really close to the giraffes. Mm-hmm. They had come really close to the fence. And the dad goes, put this leaf in your mouth and we'll see if it can make the giraffe come over. Well, the giraffe.
Have you ever seen a giraffe's tongue?
Isn't it like black?
It's black and it's long and I don't want it anywhere near
me. It's probably the size of my forearm.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, this poor little girl, the giraffe does come up.
You do it, Dad.
Yeah, seriously. My face could get bit off right now.
It's like, you know,
you
want to
pay for corrective surgery?
Giraffes are like akin to horses. And when you feed a horse, you have to like put your hand
flat
because so they can chomp down and break your hand. So you times that. Giraffes are way bigger.
Anyway, luckily, the giraffe did not bite. It just full on took that huge forearm of a tongue, licked her face from chin to forehead on the way up, like upper nose.
And gathered the leaves on the way.
Gathered the leaves. Up her nose and everything.
Ew.
That's disgusting.
It's so gross.
I wish we had it on video.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, come on, guys. Come on, Dad. If you're going to dare your daughter to do it, at least.
We need footage.
Yeah.
At least let it go like semi-viral.
Right. Okay, well, I do have a giraffe story as well. You haven't heard it, but we both were like, oh my gosh, that's funny. We both have giraffe stories.
Mm-hmm.
This listener, she said, this girl, she actually did some modeling in Japan.
Ooh.
And so on this day, she was scheduled to go to the zoo outside of Tokyo and be in a television show about an American woman who could telepathically talk to animals.
I mean, it's a great plot.
I don't know. It's just funny. Like,
why?
Anyway, so she said, so the girl was going to play her as a little girl, and then somebody else was going to play her as
an adult.
The mother. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so they shot some video. They took this girl.
So it was more like a montage.
Yes.
Maybe like when she was younger. Because I'm like, you need an actress, not a model.
Right.
Like, no offense.
But there maybe wasn't like a lot of speaking. Maybe it was like, but if they just need an American and there happens to be a model in the area that's blonde, they're like,
her.
So they said that after they shot some video, they went to do some close-ups with the
girl and the animals. They walked over and there was a man feeding the giraffes, and he asked if I was interested. He gave her the handful of food, and at first she stood there facing the giraffe and fed the giraffe. And the guy said, "Hey, do you want me to take some pictures of you feeding the giraffe?" "Sure." So she turned around and she was taking the food out of her right hand and feeding him with the left hand. We have pictures.
Yeah.
And he put his head over her shoulder and tried to go for the handful of food. As she slowly dropped her hand, he got mad, reared back, and slammed her in the head.
What?
Like headbutted her. I guess that's actually how giraffes fight.
Really?
And their heads are so powerful, they can kill each other.
So a human skull has no chance.
No, but she did. thankfully, or I don't know that I'd be telling this story.
No.
And she said, she was lucky. The force spun her around, which absorbed a lot of the energy.
Oh my gosh.
She said she did have a big gash and a big purple knot on her head for a while. Needless to say, she doesn't love giraffes and probably didn't model much for at least until the wound was healed.
Yeah.
Unless they're like, we need someone to come model for the hospital.
Band-Aid brand.
Yeah. Needless to say, she doesn't love giraffes. They got in touch with the lady who was supposed to be in the show, and she said it was very unlike a giraffe because they are such docile creatures. I think she got a hold of the lady who maybe she was supposed to be in the show, like the actual person who's maybe telepathic with animals, the Dr. Doolittle of Japan. And so apparently just this time, maybe it's just real hungry, hangry.
Oh my gosh. Surprisingly enough, we have more animal headbutting stories.
Yikes.
I didn't know how common this was. And these are large animals.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't know so many animals head-butted.
Right.
Like, I didn't know so many of them. But I guess if you have no opposable thumbs, which a lot of animals don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the agility for a lot of these animals is just sheer brute force.
And that's a lot of their power.
Yes.
And forward motion.
Right.
I don't understand.
It's like if they walk on all fours, what are they going to do? They can't, like
sideswipe you, like
give you, like, a right hook.
Yeah.
You know?
I actually don't understand the concept of head-butting in general.
Seems like if it does more damage to yourself.
Or equal.
But I also don't have the skull of like a buffalo. You know what I mean?
But like if you watch a Jackie Chan movie.
Correct. They all say if you do it right, but I know I wouldn't have the confidence.
It feels equally damaging to both parties.
Right. So I feel like I might break a nose.
It doesn't feel like it's an effective fighting tactic.
Right.
But this listener,
it just
said,
looks bad.
Well, yeah,
people.
It looks like, sick,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I really do feel sick. Now I have a concussion.
Concussion.
So this listener, she said that one year her friend came to the 4-H fair with his steer that was supposed to be a gentle giant.
Mm.
When they got it out of the trailer on weigh-in day, the steer went berserk. He ended up running up on the hill of the fairgrounds right through the intersection of the busiest road in the area and was finally lassoed by someone who was riding in the back of a pickup truck, looping the lasso above his head. This is a movie. This is Beverly Hillbillies.
Right.
It is.
like theme music as this person's like
swinging.
Well,
it reminds me of, you guys, you know, this is niche, Mighty Ducks 3.
Where Mighty Ducks 3.
Where that, yes. I think he's in the second one too.
Yeah.
That kid from the country, he like lassos them on the ice.
Yes.
That's what I'm picturing. in the back of a truck. They were able to get it and load it back up into the trailer. And her friend thought that he really had a close connection to this steer of his.
So he was like deeply offended on a personal level.
Well, no, he's just like, listen.
How dare you?
Listen, thank you for capturing my steer. Oh. Let me get in there. And once again, Dr. Doolittle this situation.
What?
So
it's not like Black Beauty. Like, I don't – stallion – like a you know, like a horse. I feel like that's more likely.
But she said the animal was still really struggling because it just got lassoed into the back of a
pickup truck. Like, just give me a minute, man. Just don't even talk to me, it says the steer.
But the kid who thinks he has this connection – hops in the back, but it's going crazy.
Yeah.
So the steer started headbutting him multiple times.
While he's locked into like a trailer with him?
Yeah. I think he's in the bed of a pickup truck.
Has he never seen a matador?
There are certain equipment, i.e. a red flag,
yeah,
that you're going to need here.
I'm just saying, like, has he never seen the anger of that type of animal? Mm-hmm. Like to just
right.
learn to just let him cool off.
He thought he had that connection. Sometimes
I feel like that's the problem with a lot of these stories.
Sometimes the delusion
leads
to life-threatening injuries.
There's a whole like television series and it's like a reality show and I can't remember what it's called. It's bugging me that I can't remember, but it's basically talking about people that got these pets like a tiger or an orangutan.
And they think if they raise it from a baby.
And they like sleep with the tiger in bed or the bear or whatever. And
yeah.
I watched them. And they think that they have built this trust. They're still an animal.
Right. They're still a wild
animal. They still have instincts built into them. You know what I mean?
Hundreds of pounds heavier
but us
than you.
Emotional beings mm-hmm, over here mm-hmm. have this, oh, they would never.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, he actually ends up being able to escape the back of the truck. Uh-huh. She said he actually was okay.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think he had to go to the hospital. Right. But he lived. I mean,
maybe lost a few teeth.
Maybe. Or some brain cells. If I saw a steer headbutting a 12-year-old.
Oh, he was little.
Because they're 4-H.
Yeah. Well, 4-H, I think.
The oldest you can be is 18, right?
Yeah.
It's for kids. It's for right. teens.
Brit's just trying to make it more dramatic.
It is.
He was 12.
No, I'm being serious. I'm trying to paint a picture. This wasn't
somewhere between the
this
ages
wasn't,
of 12 and 18.
This wasn't Chuck Norris
right.
handling the steer.
Right. This was no Kevin Costner movie, Western movie.
Yeah, it was little Devin from down the street.
And who probably didn't want to do this anyway, but his mom thought it would help build some character. All right. Well, I have one about steer randomly.
Enough. Wow. Wow. Okay.
This is like, I don't want to say eerily similar, but wildly similar. So this listener said they raised steers a couple times. And one time they just happened to buy a heifer and a steer calf from a guy.
Okay.
And he chose which ones to bring them and delivered them. So this is probably, you know what this is? It's the guy who just got rid of the headbutting steer. And he's like, here, take this one.
I have the perfect steer in yeah, mind for you.
Because it sounds like the same animal.
He's like, the whole point of 4-H is to sell your animal
right.
so you can have a college education.
And I'm not making any guarantees because, yes, it's an animal. So they get them delivered to them. And as soon as he let the heifer out of the trailer, she was ticked.
Yeah.
So I guess this isn't the same animal because the heifer is a girl. She bolted and thrashed through an electric and barbed wire fence and started Yikes. Running down the canal road by their house. The canal road also lines a fancy new neighborhood.
Oh, gosh.
Some farmer sold their land, and now somebody's developing it.
Yeah, and now these city-fied
yeah.
folks are just like, isn't it nice to be out in the country?
Right. And then this happened. So many people were outside, like, enjoying the evening, yeah. like, having a BBQ, whatever. And they suddenly see just a cow run by. Followed moments later by this girl's husband running frantically, and then her son chasing the husband frantically. She said some of these people knew them and jumped in trucks and four-wheelers and came to help. Other neighbors called the cops. Soon the whole neighborhood and the cops were out trying to catch this cow. She said this also happens to be her introverted husband's like worst nightmare.
What, like rallying the whole city
yes.
to try and catch his wild animal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. It's embarrassing for people who are introverted. They tried to corner it, but it just bolted through people and was running all over the neighborhood. She said they called the guy who sold them the cow and told them what happened. Finally, he called his cowboy friend to
what
come
What is he supposed
help.
To say? No take backs? Final sale as is?
No returns?
Yeah.
No store credit? The guy they bought him from called his cowboy friend to come and help. She said before she knew it, she sees a cowboy on horseback with a lasso.
This is
riding
hot.
Down a very high-end and suburban road. And she said he lassos the cow in between two neighbors' houses and manages to get this thing into the trailer. She said it was the most stressful thing ever. And the cow went to auction the very next day.
That's hilarious.
It's so funny.
Well, call in the reinforcement.
But it's just so funny because it's, like she said, like this upscale rural area.
Uh-huh.
It happens to be surrounded by some like farmland, you mm-hmm. know, so they like the vibe. Uh-huh. But little did they know they'd get a rogue heifer.
Yeah.
Now, we had something like this happen. So I used to live in kind of a similar thing. I was actually living in a townhouse. But it used to be all farm area.
Yeah.
And so there still were farms out. One morning we were sleeping. It was like 6 a.m. And we felt shaking initially, totally
earthquake.
Thought it was an earthquake. Jump up, and then I swear I heard mooing. And then I'm like, oh, someone's phone's vibrating. You know, you're being awake.
Well, when you're not coherent, like one time I thought I was experiencing an earthquake in the night, and I woke up so convinced that there was an earthquake in the night. So I got on Facebook to see if people were commenting, like, did anybody feel that mm-hmm. shaking? That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
And nobody was making any comments. So I almost got on and made an entire post being like, what was that? Did anybody else feel that earthquake? I wonder where the epicenter was. And then I realized, I feel like maybe I was the only person feeling it. And after some internet research, I found that maybe it was a symptom of anxiety where you get the shakes in the night.
Yeah, it turns out it's just like a mental health issue. Sorry to alarm everybody about the epicenter. There was no epicenter. I'm the epicenter.
I'm the epicenter in my own life.
Yes. all right. So anyway, so I like pop up and I'm like, Andy, like waking my husband up and the phone, I was like, maybe a phone's vibrating. Anyway, and then it sort of died down. We were like, what was that? Anyway, like a whole herd of cattle had broken through the fence and like gotten out.
And ran through these condos?
Ran through the condos. Like ran through the townhomes. It was so weird. So there was like some poop in the road.
Yeah.
A bunch of people were popping out of their houses in their pajamas.
What is
like,
happening?
Yeah, like feeling this. It was so funny.
Well, when I told mom about what our subject was today, she's like, oh, I've got some. So she said she was riding this little Shetland pony.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of a Shetland pony, you just think
adorbs.
It's adorable. It's the little pony that they bring to the birthday party.
On Miss Doubtfire.
And something spooked the Shetland pony and takes off running. And she's a little girl.
Yeah.
And it runs right into the intersection, one of the busiest intersections
right.
in that area. She's screaming and crying.
Right.
So that's making the horse freak out more.
Right.
And it just continues to run. I don't think anybody realized that she was even gone.
That's the hard thing about it. Yeah, there were five kids in that family.
Yeah.
And they lived on a farm.
Uh-huh.
Kids could have been gone at any point. This is what I have a hard time with like animals. It's like they say, you know, dogs, they sense your fear that, and they perceive mm-hmm. it as a threat. Bees mm-hmm. or, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They sense your fear. And so
Hate
then
that.
You're afraid of
Hate
being
that.
Afraid. You know, you're like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
I'm breathing heavy because I just got done running. I'm not scared
I'm not afraid.
Of you.
Did you hear me?
I'm not afraid anymore. It's like, do I look into the eyes? Do I not look into the eyes? Which
right.
animal is this?
All right. I have two submissions from one listener, which we don't do very often because like we try to spread it out, but these are just too good.
Okay.
So a lot of what I'm also seeing with some of these stories is like little kids and animals.
Right.
Because
well, they love them.
They love them.
And they want to hug them.
And sometimes they love them to death, you know, or love them
oh,
just
this is taking
too
a turn.
Much. And so I had a neighbor who they went and bought bunnies and their little boy was just excited and he just took it to their little backyard playground and
sliding it down the slide.
No, really. It was yeah. sending the bunny. He was sending the bunny down the slide, swinging on the swings with him.
Yeah.
And the bunny woke up. The next day, well, actually, no, he didn't wake up the next day. He had like a heart attack in
oh.
the night. Too much stress.
Bunnies,
too much.
Bunnies
too much.
Have heart attacks, it
yeah.
seems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were always told this story about my aunt's house. She lived kind of up by the woods and they decided to get bunnies and mm-hmm. they had a cage for the bunnies out in the back. So it couldn't have been accessed by a coyote. But the fact that there was a coyote on the ground
stalking
them killed them.
Mm-hmm.
They all died.
Yeah.
Because of the
relate.
Stress.
I can relate.
Speaking of
you ever had
the anxiety shakes
racing so bad
yeah.
that you're like it's gonna pop out. That's poor little bunnies. Anyway, so I just have a couple funny these kid ones. This listener said she probably shouldn't admit this, but when she was a little bit cruel to her pets.
Oh.
And one day she was playing hide and seek with her cat, just her and the cat.
Okay, your turn to hide.
Cats don't seem like they would vibe with hide and seek.
They don't seem like they vibe with very much at all.
Yeah.
And so hide and seek with a 7-year-old?
Right.
Probably not.
There's a chance you're going to die in that hiding spot because the cat
They're
does not want to come find you.
Sure,
the
I'll
dog,
count.
100%.
Yeah. Sure, I'll count for you. Go,
yeah.
Go hide.
That is so cat-like, Brit. So she decided, like, I'm going to hide the cat.
And then try to find it.
I don't know. But do you want to know where she hid it?
Did she hide it in, like, the fridge?
Close. The freezer.
This is a full Dwight K. Schrute.
She hid it in the freezer, and then she forgot about it.
Oh,
as
my.
Kids do.
What was I doing?
I
felt like I was playing hide and seek with somebody.
She got distracted. She saw a popsicle in there, took it, went to eat it.
Bluey was on.
Right. So she said, all of a sudden, hours
oh,
later,
no.
she ran into the kitchen to get it, only to see her brother opening the freezer.
Trauma.
She said, it lived.
What?
But supposedly, it was frozen solid when they found it.
No.
Like probably minutes from death.
Or maybe it's like cryogenically frozen,
yeah.
like Austin Powers.
I know. Don't get any ideas, you guys.
Just throw it in the dryer and thaw it out.
Don't get any ideas. Okay. Same listener. You ready? She said when she was young, her brother brought home a school project. He was supposed to raise two little chicks. She said she loved those chicks. Overly loved
oh,
the
no.
chicks. One day she was giving them a ride on her trike. On each handlebar.
A chick falling off trike handlebars is like,
Us falling from a 10-story building.
Falling off a cliff's edge.
Right. At one point, one jumped off and went right under her tire.
No.
She said, you think that's bad?
Oh, no.
Wait till
really
you hear
scared.
What happened to the other chick.
I don't even know if I can include this.
Another day, her brother and her were playing with the remaining chick.
Oh, gosh.
And a vacuum.
Oh, my gosh. Stop it.
She said,
who was vacuuming?
Them.
On purpose?
Yes. So her brother was showing her that if you put the hose just above the little cheeky feathers,
it fuzzes its hair.
Then it makes its little feathers go up.
I can't with these stories.
Well, next
I can't.
Next thing you know,
my gosh,
her brother left for a second with just her
and the vacuum.
The chick and the vacuum. So she tried it herself.
No.
Well, she said she must have gotten a little close with the hose and
my.
The chick was gone.
Gosh.
Her brother didn't do too well on that school project.
Keep it in the terrarium.
Oh my gosh.
Do not attempt.
I'm so glad this girl is not a serial killer.
I can't believe these stories.
She could have been mislabeled.
I know. Nowadays, they'd have a file on her.
Uh-huh.
But back then, I mean, these seem like accidents. She just really wanted to play with them. She wanted to see the hair fuzz.
Right. So those of you who have had incidences with your kids and animals, don't jump to conclusions.
Feel bad.
Right.
Don't label them or send them to
home. But where was the end on that? Like, did the mom – there's a carcass in your vacuum bag or your vacuum canister.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So like where are we going with that?
I guarantee they didn't tell her.
I wouldn't. And I wouldn't want to go fish a potentially decapitated chick.
Well, speaking of young chicks – similar vein. Allison one time hosted. she was the host family for some ducklings.
Orphan ducks.
And sent me a video of them swimming adorably in her bathtub.
They're so cute.
They're so cute.
But then we found out that like ducks are way more high maintenance. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, that flyaway home. Although it was geese, huh?
It was geese. Come on, geese. Okay. So she... Oh my gosh.
No, what happened was there were baby ducks in my mother-in-law's window well, and some boys found their mother dead under their trampoline from like a raccoon or a skunk or something like that. So we knew 100% they were orphans.
Yeah.
So we brought them to us because we thought, well, we live in the most country-like area. Mm-hmm. But then we started finding out that they were like very high maintenance and like, I don't know.
Messy or something like that, right?
No, it was like something psychologically, I think. Like, I'm going to Google it, but I think it was something like they kind of imprint on you.
Yeah.
And so you have to like be around them. Mm-hmm. It's like on Flyaway Home, like the geese, like she was the mama.
Yeah. Or like on Modern Family when they imprinted on Claire. And she like did. Phil was like so in love with these ducks. Claire didn't want them. They imprinted on Claire. Phil was very jealous.
No, really. And so that's like, we were like, we're not, nobody's imprinting anything on me, you know? And so we called the wildlife services or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they could relocate the ducks, rehome them.
Well, this listener said she was 8 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband were on campus one day and they walked by a duck nest.
Mm-hmm.
The duck started chasing her. She's 8 months pregnant and didn't stop until about 50 yards.
She's like, believe me, I can relate. Okay.
I am a mother too.
I know how to fly.
I'm not the enemy. We need to be bonding together right now.
I am of no threat to you and your little ones. I can barely run. I'm walking like a duck.
Yeah. She's like waddle, waddle, waddle. The duck is like waddle, waddle, waddle. Meanwhile, the husband is frozen. He didn't know what to do.
So you know, that was a conversation later that night.
He just watched his pregnant wife get chased by a feisty mama duck. Yeah,
scary.
For half a football field.
You know, that's frightening because birds are a little scary and they're flighty.
Flappy, flighty.
Yeah.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, it's funny because we do have quite a few animal stories. For being a family that doesn't, my mom actually grew up around a ton of animals. Like you said, she grew up on a somewhat farm and had like raised sheep, helped with steers, all the things. They had like farm dogs that just roamed and things, but my mom's never been like a pet person.
We had bunnies at one point.
Yeah, and we had a lot of crazy adventures with those bunnies.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of my core early memories was coming home from kindergarten and walking to the bunny pen, and I had no idea my bunny was even pregnant, and and watching my bunny, like, I watched a live birth in kindergarten of the bunnies coming out, and I know what you farm kids are thinking, NBD, I watched calves being born. I helped pull them out.
Yeah.
But for me, I was living in a condo and it was a lot. It was a lot to process as a 5-year-old. And we ended up with like over 20 bunnies because there is that saying for a reason.
Yeah. We thought we had all girl rabbits
yeah.
when we got them. One was a boy, three were girls.
Yeah.
So do the math.
Yep, on that one. And they are on it like Blue Bonnet, like right after. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There ain't no waiting 6 weeks like a human mama.
Okay. Allison said she has so many questions about the story.
And I do.
And I do too. This listener said her husband grew up on an actual zoo.
I don't know how.
Where?
Is that? I thought it was a movie.
It is. A Matt Damon movie.
Right.
A little bit of a tearjerker.
A total tearjerker. And I don't know how you grow up on a zoo. I've never heard of that before.
No. Like, I feel like zoos are the Hochul Zoo.
Right.
The San Diego Zoo.
And as far as I can tell, there's no living quarters for humans at the Hochul Zoo, but maybe I've missed something.
So she said it was not abnormal for there to be animals just inside their house.
Wowzers.
When he...
Okay. Like, what if you're just, like, brushing your teeth, and then all of a sudden there's a lemur? Like, you know what? I okay.
Yeah, how exotic are we talking about?
So was this a zoo, like, that people paid to get into, or was she saying, like...
She just is calling it a zoo. Welcome to our zoo!
Yeah, because they just have a million different animals. So
yeah.
That's my number one question, I would say.
So she said when he was in third grade, he came home from school one day, and the orangutan... had gotten into their house.
Because orangutans kill people.
I had a nightmare about orangutans when I was 5 years old. I still remember it.
Same with me and ostriches.
But they must have had some exotic animals. Because an orangutan?
Yeah.
Is it orangutan? Orangutan?
Potato, potato.
I feel
you
like...
You do you.
I feel like tang...
I feel weird saying orangutan.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel right to me.
It doesn't
feel...
So
I say orangutan.
Me too. And also, it is the mascot on all the Tang commercials, so mm-hmm. It feels like that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the orangutan had gotten into their house and was eating his mom's jewelry. That's not going to go down smooth. But the little boy's arrival must have startled the orangutan.
Uh-huh.
And so he hopped up and perched on top of a door.
You guys, this is when
it's horrifying.
Evacuate.
Horrifying.
Yeah, you're in his world now.
These are the monkeys on Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
This is real scary. When he walked into his parents' room looking for his mom, it jumped on his back and got him in a headlock.
Those things are strong. I really feel like one of
that thing would snap a neck.
I feel like in one of the episodes I watched of that show, which I still can't remember the name of, they said an orangutan like ate a guy's face off. I'm not kidding you. Like defaced a human.
Yeah. I would not feel comfortable if orangutans just moseyed about my property or my home.
Right.
With young children.
They are so dangerously close to human life that the fact that he could get in the house.
Unless I could teach a few skills.
So now I'm just
You done in that bathroom there? Good.
Yeah, and then he's like,
No,
I'm going to strangle you.
For making me do chores and be your slave.
So many questions on that
one. The power dynamic is questionable.
So terrifying and hilarious for that child. All right. This listener said her parents got her a hamster on Christmas morning when she was seven.
You guys, I read a meme that said anybody who's ever owned a hamster, there is a trauma story associated with it.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes.
Do you think there's
any... You have a trauma story with a hamster like 2 months ago, right? Lenny died.
Yeah, it's been about a year.
Lenny died.
Lenny did die. And it also got loose and it was very fast.
Mm-hmm.
We should have known. It was kind of like that steer situation.
Yeah.
The family that we bought it from nicknamed it Sonic because it was so fast and speedy.
And yet you still took him home.
We didn't know what else to do.
You were like, maybe the kids will get off my back with this dog stuff.
Yeah.
If I get the hamster.
You guys, it was the onset of COVID. Need I say more?
Right.
All
is forgiven.
We bought a hamster. But anyway, yeah. Do you think that you can find one person who is a hamster owner, former hamster owner, that does not have a trauma story associated with? I challenge you.
Yeah. I remember a friend... The hamster got loose,
mm-hmm.
and the mom was in the kitchen kind of squealing and screaming,
mm-hmm.
and we were trying to find it, and it went behind the fridge,
yep.
and we went to slide the fridge out,
mm-mm.
and the son just froze and was like, it was under the fridge.
Gross.
And the mom's like, ah! Like Did I ever tell the story about the sleepover I had with a friend? And I didn't know her very well. The 90s were a wild time for sleepovers. We got mm-hmm. to have sleepovers with a lot of
with people that
we did not know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
some rando at school. You want to sleep over? Sure. What's your name?
What's the address? What? Anyway, no, I mean, she was in my gymnastics class and I knew her name, but maybe not her mom's. My mom probably knew her parents' names, but she had a rat, a black rat. with a pink tail.
Like nutcracker style.
Uh-huh. And in my mind, it was as big as a cat, but it wasn't, uh-huh. you know. And she would just get out and play with it and pet it. And I was just kind of like, I'll be passing on that. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the night, she woke up and she was crying. And she's like, have you seen? And she said a name. And I was like, who's that? You know, and she's like, my rat. Guys, I am on the floor.
Pardon?
In her house at a sleepover, and there is a rogue rat. 911 SOS, like, what the actual? And so I'm like, I don't know. And I start like jumping out of my sleeping bag, you know, looking all around. Lights are on.
You're at the ceiling fan at this point.
I'm like, I feel like,
you're like just like the orangutan.
Yeah.
I have perched on the door.
Yeah. And I will not be coming down until you find Ratigan.
Or I will put you in a headlock.
Okay, so we got off track there.
Well, rats and hamsters.
Back,
once again,
rodents.
Potato, potato.
So anyway, this listener, she got a hamster Christmas morning when she was 7. And she went to pull it out of the box. And it latched onto the skin between your finger and your thumb. Piercing it all the way through. She said she pulled her hand out with a hamster hanging from her hand by the teeth.
And she said
she couldn't get it released from her hand for a while. Well, it turns out, she was having babies on Christmas morn. And she wasn't in the mood to get messed with.
You know how you have like your birth coach, like your husband, and you got to grasp onto their hands real hard.
She didn't have a birth coach because she was currently wrapped.
In Christmas wrapping paper. And so she latched on.
Yes.
You know, during those contractions, you got to really
power
through.
And I don't know how many babies hamsters have, but I would guess it's a lot.
It's a litter.
Yeah. And so if she was mid-litter and then someone goes to pick her up.
Yeah.
But can you imagine being a little girl and like, Christmas morning, hamster.
Here's your main present. It's going to attack you.
And then it's like having babies as you're like, so the
I can't parents, get it off.
The and parents got
there's
like
more. They're keeping, every time I shake it, more are coming.
Come out. And then their parents got 7 for one.
Yeah, that was a real good Black Friday deal. Speaking of animals having babies, this listener said that she lived on a farm growing up. And at this point in time, they were new to the neighborhood trying to make friends.
Okay.
It just so happened her goat was going to have babies.
Okay.
And she invited neighborhood kids over to watch their farmhand deliver these baby goats. Mm-hmm.
Well, sidebar, my neighbor has goats and they breed them. And I begged for her to let me know because I really wanted to see it. And she called me one night at like 10. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're having babies if you want to come. And it was very cool.
Okay.
But I'm a grown woman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you've been through childbirth. You see it through a different lens. Mm-hmm. So they get mucus on their face when they're born.
The babies, yes.
The baby goats. Mm-hmm. It's so thick and sticky that the best way to get it off is for someone to pull the goat from its hind legs and spin it around above your head. So it's like a helicopter.
None of that was happening at the birth that I witnessed.
This was a fringe farmhand.
Okay.
I would guess. That is wild.
Yeah.
So
how fast do you have to be spinning it to get that goop to fly
enough
off?
To have the centripetal force, pull the gunk off the face.
Sounds bizarre. Okay, keep going.
I mean, that's a story in and of itself.
Right, right.
But anyway, she and her friends, or her friends that she wants to be her friends,
right,
are hanging out by the fence, watching the whole thing happen. Mm-hmm. Well, as that gunk is flying off the face of one of the baby goats, it flies through the air. And where do you think it lands?
On the friends.
No, right on her face.
Oh.
Disgusting.
She's like, guys, don't worry. It's like a little amniotic fluid. Like, no big deal. Like, I'm so used to this.
So this isn't going to always happen when you guys come over. And I'm fine. Don't call me placenta face, please.
Please.
She said it knocked her right off the fence.
Because it hit her with such
it
force.
Hit her and she probably so startled. Just,
yes, caught off guard.
She said it was traumatizing, disgusting, embarrassing, and it was stuck on her face.
Well, it's so funny.
So now she has to be spun above someone's head by her hind legs.
And round and round we go. Where it stops, nobody knows. The thing is I always laugh at this, and it's such human nature. Why should she be embarrassed? But it's embarrassing. Uh-huh. It's just like you know, getting hit in the face with a soccer ball at recess, and you're, and everyone stops and like looks at you, and there's just something about it that you're just like, this is embarrassing. Why am I embarrassed? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a victim in this scenario. You know what I mean? But I'm embarrassed. And yeah, she's trying to impress these new friends. So she somewhere in there probably wanted to cry a little.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like,
because, I'd be shocked if she didn't.
And
be
and freak out. And then you can't because you're trying to play it cool. So then you just feel so stupid.
I can't believe that. A newborn baby goat that you just like twirl around your head.
Like I said, I'm no expert. You know,
I just never in the National Geographic.
No, have I just ever watched the goat. Like, I feel like the mom goat like licked it off.
Yeah,
or something. The goat will stand up within minutes of being born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got a few like shorter stories, just kind of rapid fire, like we like. This listener said her mom ran the washing machine without realizing their pet ferret Princess was in there. R.I.P. Princess.
Oh,
she
my
did
gosh.
Not make it.
Oh,
and ferrets smell horrible.
Yeah.
Have you ever been around
like
a ferret?
This laundry needs to be done.
I would.
Spin cycle.
Yeah, but I would just not even wear those clothes ever again.
No.
Have you ever smelled, like, been around a ferret? They have, like, a sweet.
Like, sick smell?
Sick smell. Yeah, it's like underlying.
There's, like, certain states where it's illegal to have a ferret. They're just, they are
They're
sketch.
A nuisance.
They're sketch.
Yeah.
I think is what it is.
Squirrely, weaselly little buggers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Princess is not a fitting name for...
Sometimes they just want to like soften the image, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to have a ferret named like Bernie Madoff or something. You just want to name it something that people will feel comfortable with being around.
Okay.
Okay, so 12-year-old her walking through the zoo with a stuffed monkey on her shoulder. When they walked by the real monkey encounter, the real monkey thought it was a real-life young baby monkey.
Thought that this girl was trying to kidnap one of their own.
And so it went ape. She said, pun intended. And it tried to get her stuffed monkey.
Oh my gosh.
Her mom had to hurry and get her out of the primate enclosure.
It's like some realistic gift shop
swag. Usually they're purple.
Yeah. Not realistic at all.
Got the full
with like a
hair.
Rainbow tail.
Yeah. Do you want to feel like you are in the actual rainforest? Here you go. Here's the most realistic monkey
they're
we
like,
could fathom.
It even smells like poop. We sprayed it with monkey urine. This listener said she got bit by a seagull and it stole her tuna sandwich from her hand when she was at SeaWorld when she was six.
Seagulls are so aggressive.
And then she said, well, it's because humans have been feeding them way too long. But yes, they're terrifying. My kids, we went to Seattle and we went to
Ivers.
And I was trying to get them to go outside. It was cold. It was December. So we were eating in this like kind of like makeshift. They kind of have like a seating area that they've enclosed. So it's not so cold. And so I was trying to show them to be brave. And so I stepped out. Because I've done it before.
Famous last words.
I've done it before.
Guys, I'm going to show you this is just fine. Let me just demonstrate.
But okay, so typically, let me just paint a picture at Ivers if you've never been there. It's right on the pier in Seattle, in downtown Seattle.
It's like a boardwalk situation.
And there's usually people, like a lot of people sitting outside and eating. And so I guess I didn't think that through, but no one was because it was cold because it was December. So everyone was sitting inside this little thing. So I was just going to go step out to that area to show them and stand on the edge and hold my hand out and let them come grab it from my hand with a French fry. And the second I stepped out the door, literally like 10 seagulls just go swooping in. And I just scream and throw the French fry and go diving back in. And
see, guys? I'm fine.
It was just backfired.
Anybody else want to try it?
And I was like, why was And I said,
like, no, don't go try it. I'm afraid you're going to get lifted away.
I was like, why wasn't this so scary when I did it before? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's because there was like 20 people sitting out here. The seagulls were all spread out. There was no one sitting out there. So as soon as they saw a person with something in their hand even step out the door, I was targeted.
No, seagulls are aggressive. Yeah. One time I got a box of dozen donuts and I brought them to the lake. And you know on Jumanji.
Brit's like, not to be dramatic, but you know the movie where the
board entire
game comes
town
alive
is taken down
by
wild animals. No, so you know on Jumanji when that giant mosquito taps on the glass and he's like, you guys, it's fine. We're in here. He can't get through the glass. And all of a sudden it's like, bing, 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 and breaking the glass. So I had a box of dozen donuts and I figured they're all covered.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, seagulls just start like breaking through the box.
Oh my
gosh. I was shocked.
Mine.
Yes.
Mine.
We got to go back to the hamsters. We've all had experiences. When she was a kid, her sister and she had a hamster named Jellybean. It gnawed a hole in its cage and escaped. Sounds about right. We couldn't find it anywhere. Oh no. A few
days. You didn't read ahead.
Sorry, Allison gave me this. I did not read ahead. Okay. A few days later, our house smelled like burnt toast. We think it climbed down the heater vent.
Oh. And when she says we think, poor she jelly means bean. There's no way we're going to confirm that. We're just going to wait till the burnt toast smell goes away.
I mean, so the body disintegrates for the air duct cleaner and let them deal with that.
Jelly bean, RIP. Okay, I think I have one more.
These names, the names make it so much better. Cuddles, Jelly Bean, Princess. Mm-hmm. If for some reason, it just makes it so much better.
Oh, for sure. We'll finish it up with this one. This listener said one time her mom, she and her mom were driving and they hit a horse.
Whoa, sorry.
I made that very anticlimactic.
I was like, whoa.
They were driving along, and next thing you know, they hit a horse.
There we go.
She said delivery the horse on point. Flew into the air and landed basically on top of their car.
Oh, my gosh.
She said it smashed the driver's sunroof, mm-hmm. and she's like, it's honestly a miracle that her mom wasn't injured. Mm-hmm. But this is the weirdest part, okay? They never found the horse.
What?
Even the cops looked, and that thing seemingly disappeared.
What?
She said she still doesn't know, and this was almost 20 years ago. And every time she drives that road, mm-hmm. she still looks for horses dead or alive.
You guys.
No, this is a ghost horse.
Yes.
But doing some real damage.
It flew up, landed on the roof of their car, and then what?
Galloped away?
You guys, horses are 2,000 pounds.
And she indicated the road.
And it's not easy to hide. Right. This isn't like playing hide and seek with your cat.
Well, and like when a horse breaks a leg, they like are like, well, we have to shoot it. So it's like,
if it gets hit by a car and lands on top of it, smashing glass,
right,
it's done.
Well, and the weird thing is, so she said it was on the road from, this is in Utah, but from Hiram to Wellsville. You're going 65 at least. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Well, yeah. So it would be done. It would probably not have lived.
But then how, but the cops went and searched everywhere.
Where would it have gone?
No answers. Just a ghost horse. Talk about a core memory.
Well, you guys, this episode has been wild.
Just be careful.
In more ways than one.
It's a jungle out there.
Whether you have a pet hamster or a prize-winning steer that you think you have a connection with, nobody's safe.
No. And I guess when all else fails,
just remember,
someday you'll laugh about this.
Thanks so much for gabbing with us today. I know we call out for some rating and reviews kind of often. We don't mean that. We don't mean that facetiously.
If you just do it.
We wouldn't have to ask so much.
That's what I tell my kids. They're like, you've told me that like 5 times. I'm like, if you would have just done it by now, it would have been one time. So like, I don't know who you're blaming here. I'm just kidding, you guys. We do love you. We know we've gotten some new gabbers from some of our stuff that we've been doing lately.
We're excited to have you.
But if we can't interact with you, unless you do follow along with us on Instagram at gabfest_gals. And that's where you get the prompts for submitting stories. Mm-hmm. I want to put out one more call too. If you are own a small business or a company that you're trying to promote and you want to sponsor us, let us know. Mm-hmm. Message us. We'd love to work with you. We've kind of revamped the way we're doing our sponsorships now that we're a KSL podcast. So let us know. We'd love to have you.
Bye, guys.
See ya. We took the 4th of July off and we didn't ask and we didn't tell. We just did it because that's what freedom is. Funny animal.
Maybe you should just get rid of this.
She's really telepathic. She would have known he was going to ask her that.
She's only telepathic with animals.
That's just her character.
Real estate office in the 90s.
We're like, Lulu, how can I help you? They treated this dog so well. I remember we woke up and had cereal, and she made the dog scrambled eggs. My wife's in a fragile state.
And she needs to go jet skiing.
They look so serene floating on the water.
Long necks. Like, but like when it's Swan Lake.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, right. It's the Swan Lake Natalie Portman version.
That's Black Swan. They seem like such soft creatures.
And the ugly duckling makes you feel like they are nice because they went through it when they were a teen. Right.
But no.
And they went through an awkward phase.
Because they went through it.
Now there's vengeance.
Oh my gosh.
You got it?
Speaking of Jumanji, what's happening?
Oh, a good bowl.
I don't think you should have talkies. You just threw up.
There's fire on the front of those.
What am I doing? Please don't throw up. I always eat those wanting them to taste like a hot Cheeto. And they don't. They're not going to be hot Cheetos. So why?
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.